You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
I say good morning to you and good morning to those who are joining us online. And today, the message is entitled, Awake to Become Awake. And it's not really a new word. It's not really even a new revelation to some of us, but today is rather a prophetic exhortation to encourage you and to implore you to the urgency of the hour. The Lord is calling for His church. He's calling for us, His body, to awaken, to arise out of sleep and slumber. For if we awaken to Him, the world will also awaken to Him. So if I may, today, I'd actually like to be transparent before you and share some prayer entries from my journal that I keep in hopes that it will encourage you, that it will encourage you to stand firm and to continue to engage in prayer and intercession for the souls of yourself, the souls of your family, the soul of this nation, and for the soul of the nations of the world. Prayer and intercession is a standing in the gap. It's taking a position, and it's positioning yourself. The Lord is here. The people's hearts and minds are here. And we're positioning ourselves right in that gap to close the divide, to close the breach, to close the break, till there's unity between the Lord and those that are lost and outside of His kingdom. Do not grow weary in your prayer and in your intercession. It is powerful spiritual warfare in this hour. And to encourage you that you will not grow weary in well-doing as you advance the kingdom of God. For if you are in Christ, the kingdom of God is within you. You carry the light, the treasure, the love, the hope, the peace that this world so desperately needs. And wherever you go, wherever your feet trod, whomever you encounter, whatever you do, you are shedding deposits and treasures of that kingdom that is within you to the world around you. And as I pondered this great awakening that the Lord is calling His church to, I wanted to understand it from His perspective. What was His understanding, His perspective, His thoughts about this great awakening? And I didn't want to be left behind. I didn't want to be found sleeping. I didn't want to have to be aroused out of a slumber. I wanted to be wide awake to who He is and to who I am in Him. And as I prayed and as I pondered this great awakening, in my mind's eye, I saw a vision of a huge, enormous wave. It was gigantic. It was enormous. It was billowing. And these waves kept billowing in. They were mighty. They were strong. They were powerful. And I felt as if the Holy Spirit said to me, look up the definition of awake. So I looked up the definition, and the first one was the obvious, to be aroused or to be awakened out of sleep or slumber. That was obvious, and that was part of the awakening, but I knew there was more. So as I went to the second definition of awake, it is actually a ritual to watch over a dead body. That is not the wake that I wanted to be a part of in this hour. I didn't want to be caught in a dead religious organization that had no power, that had no fellowship or relationship with the Lord, that did not have a dynamic life with it. And I didn't want to be caught in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, which declares this. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous times are difficult times. They're challenging times. They're hard times. They're grievous times. They're painful times. They're fierce. For men will be lovers of themselves. They'll be lovers of money. They'll be boasters. They'll be proud. They'll be blasphemers, disobedient to their parents. They'll be unthankful and unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, watching over a dead ritual of a body, having a form of godliness that denies the power, the relationship, the impact of Holy Spirit. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into household and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. I didn't want any part of that definition of awake. So as I moved on to the third definition, listen to this. Awake is a trail of disturbed water left by the passage of a ship. My spirit leapt for joy within me. That was it. To be aroused out of sleep and slumber, that we might become a mighty wake, a wave for the Lord. And wherever that wave took us, we would be depositing treasures of his kingdom. So my heart's cry began to be, awaken me, that I might become a wake for thee, a mighty wave. I don't want to live my life in a no-wake zone. I want the ways of his spirit, the ways of power of his kingdom within me to be evident. Wherever I go, I want to trail evidence that I was there with his kingdom. The rivers of living water impacting and changing the world around me. This wave has already begun, and it is picking up momentum. And there's reports of this great awakening as the Lord has strategically placed his church throughout this nation and the nations of the world. And I don't know about you, but I want to ride this wave. And I want to land wherever it causes me to land. I want the evidence in the trail of his spirit working in and through and from me mightily. So over the next few months, I continue to pray into this great awakening that I might become awake. And as I prayed, I prophetically decreed it. I called it forth because I wanted to see heaven right here on earth. I wanted to see the knowledge of the glory of the earth covered with his knowledge and his glory as the waters cover the sea. And then I felt the Lord say to me, just as important as it is to awake, you need to arise and mobilize. You know, you can wake up in bed and you don't have to get out of bed. The Lord is saying, awake and arise. Awake, arise, and mobilize. If you lay in bed long enough after you wake up, you're going to be lulled back into sleep. And you know, ironically, at the same time we were doing a study, some of my friends and I are actually doing a study in the book of Acts right now. And we were taken back by how many times just in the book of Acts the word arise is utilized, at least 13 times. And every time the word arise is utilized, there's an action that follows that word. There's something that needs to be done. There's something that you need to do. You need to move out. For example, when Peter healed the man that was lame from his mother's womb, he said, arise and walk. When the angel of the Lord met Philip and was sending him down to minister to the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, arise and go to the south. They were getting their direction and their guidance from the Lord. When Paul had his conversion on the road to Damascus and he was blinded by the glory of the Lord's light, the Lord said to him, arise and go to Damascus. When Ananias was in Damascus and the Lord told him to go and lay hands on Paul and pray for Paul that he might receive his sight back, the Lord told him, arise and go to the street called Straight. When Peter was in prison and the angel of the Lord came to deliver him out of the prison cell, he said to him, arise quickly. Gird yourself and tie on your sandals. Put on your garment and follow me. Just see that there's always an action that needs to follow. So we are called to awaken, to arise, and to mobilize in this hour. And as I contemplated that revelation, I saw a massive green giant. It was like a vision that the Lord gave me. It was huge. It was gigantic. It was enormous. And it was lying over the earth. And as this green giant arose, I saw that it was covered in leaves from its head to its toes. It kind of reminded me of the Jolly Green Giant that you see on vegetable cans, but it was covered from head to toe in green leaves. And as this giant awakened, as this giant arose, and as this giant began to move and mobilize, these green leaves gently started falling from its body to the earth below. The Lord was giving me a picture of his church. We are a massive body. And as we begin to awaken, arise, and mobilize, green leaves of life of his kingdom will fall from us. Do you know what green is symbolic of in the Hebrew language? Green means new life. It means new beginning. It means growth. It means renewal, hope, restoration, revival. The Lord is calling for his church to awaken, arise, and mobilize, to be busy about the Father's business in this hour and advance the kingdom of God. This is what I wanted to be a part of. And as I looked in Romans 13, 11 through 14, it says this, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of your sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us, the church of Jesus Christ, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us, the church, walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." And then Isaiah 60 verses 1 through 3 say this, "Arise, church, arise and shine, for your light has already come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but, the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." And why will they come? Because of Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. And this is a scripture that was prophetic of the Lord, but it's also prophetic of us, his body, the church of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read it in the text for his body. Why are they coming? Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Because the Lord has anointed us to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound. He has called us to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. He's called us to comfort those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they too may be called trees of righteousness, not the planting of us, but the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And just as important as it is for us to awaken, to arise, and to mobilize, we need to be careful what awakens us, because whatever awakens us will determine our next move. Whatever awakens us will determine our next action. It's true in the physical, and it's true in the spiritual. In the physical realm, if you're sound asleep and you are aroused out of sleep by a crying baby, your next action or move is going to be toward that baby to see what the needs of the baby are. Is he hungry? Does he need to be fed? Is he soiled? Does he need a diaper change? The same way if you're sound asleep and all of a sudden you hear a burglar enter your home and you're aroused out of slumber and you're awakened by a burglar, your next action, your next move is going to be one based on fright. You're either going to have a flight or a fight reaction. You're going to run or you're going to stand firm and fight. The same reason with an alarm clock. If you set your alarm clock, when you awaken, it's for the action for which that alarm was set, for why it woke you up. Did you set it so you could get up early and spend time in the presence of the Lord? Did you set it so you could start the day with exercise routines? Or did you set it so that you could get up and get ready for work? Whatever awakens you will determine your next move or your next action. Are you with me? So we need to be careful what awakens us in the spiritual realm. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of clamor. There's a lot of voices out there calling for people to arouse out of sleep and slumber. But in reality, there's only two voices. There are two voices that come from two opposing kingdoms. And one voice is the voice of deception. It is the voice that orchestrates the kingdom of darkness. It is the voice of Satan and his cohorts themselves. They speak to us through circumstances. They speak to us through worldly movements and cultural movements. They speak to us through panic and fear, causing all kind of chaos and confusion to swirl about us as this voice of deception and darkness tries to arouse people out of a slumber. And one such voice, one such sound that is echoing loudly right now is the voice called pandemic. And as I thought about this voice, I thought about it being broken into three syllables, pan-dem-eek. And I felt led to look up the word pan, never believing that I would find this definition. P-A-N, pan. Pan is a god of flocks and herds. It's typically represented with the horns, the ears, and the feet of a goat on a man's body. His sudden appearance was supposed to cause terror, similar to that of a frightened and a stampeded herd. And the word panic is derived from its name. A god of flocks and herds. A false idol. A false religion, and everything that calls itself to be a god or an idol that is not Jesus Christ is a spirit of Antichrist. So we have a spirit of Antichrist out there calling with a very loud voice. And as I looked up the next part of this syllable, D-E-M, do you know what I found? D-E-M is actually a word. It means informal dialect or speech. So now we have this false religion, this false god, this spirit of fear, of terror, speaking to us, causing ick, yucky, nasty stuff, pandemic. And if you look at the word as a whole, a pandemic is a dis-ease, a discomfort, a disorder, a dysfunction of the way the norm is supposed to flow. Can you imagine and just contemplate all the pandemics that are out there right now that are screaming, trying to awaken people out of a sleep and arouse them? You have a medical pandemic. You have a racial pandemic. You have an economic pandemic. You have a cultural pandemic. You have a sexual ideology pandemic. You have a cultural pandemic. You name it, the enemy is stirring panic and disorder in the hearts and lives of people. He's calling loudly, trying to rouse people out of slumber by this voice of deception, by this voice of darkness. And if you are aroused out of slumber by this sleep, you can say that you have been woke. You've been woke by the clamor of the world. You've been woke by a culture that is antichrist. You've been woke, and your next move is going to be one of stampede and panic. It's going to be one of terror, of chaos, of violence, of anger, of rage. And it's ultimately going to end in death and destruction. I actually looked up the definition of woke. Do you know that woke is an awakening to an injustice, especially an injustice of racism? And do you know what it says after that? Stay woke and stay angry. The other voice that is out there calling is the voice of truth. It is the voice that rules and reigns in the kingdom of light. It is the voice of God himself speaking to us through his holy word, the Bible, speaking to us through prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, speaking to us through one another, the body of Christ, the Christ in us, speaking and exhorting, edifying, building up one another. It is the voice of the Lord speaking to us in visions and in dreams. If we are awakened by this voice and we arise and mobilize, we need to move toward him. If we don't move toward him and we go out into the world, we're going to see what chaos and confusion that can cause. So in the awakening, we need to be awakened to the Lord, because it is in his presence, it is in time spent with him, that we get a true revelation of who he is. And if we discover who he is, then we discover who we are. Our identity is in him. We are hidden in him. We find our purpose and our meaning for being on this earth, right here at this point in time, in him. This is the great awakening, to get a revelation of who he is and who I am in him. And I'll tell you what, if we get that revelation, the church is unstoppable. Unstoppable in advancing the kingdom of God. And Peter got a revelation of this. This is the revelation we're talking about in Matthew 16, 13 through 19. Listen to this. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Church, who do you say that he is? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered to him and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Blessed are you, Church of Jesus Christ, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Peter did not get his revelation from circumstances. He didn't get his revelation from what the world said. He didn't get his revelation from men. He got his revelation from the Father who is in heaven. "But my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you." That is why it is so important that we go to the Father. We get a revelation of who he is. That is where truth prevails, from the throne room of the Most High God. That is where we get a perception of what is really going on in the world around us and what we need to do to combat it. "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And now I say to you, Peter, that on this rock," not on Peter, but on this rock, on this truth, on this revelation that he was able to hear into the heavenlies and hear right from the throne room of God, "on this truth, on this revelation, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Truth always prevails. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind or forbid on earth will be bound and forbid in heaven, and whatever you loose and release on earth will be loosed and released in heaven." We need to understand this authority and take those keys when we use them in prayer and intercession. This is the great awakening. But the enemy always has a counterfeit running parallel to what the Lord is doing. A counterfeit trying to divert our attention and to derail the purposes of the Lord. Just as there are two opposing voices, there are two opposing movements right now. There is a woke movement that says, "I have woke." And there is a movement of the Lord that says, "I am awake." And as I pondered this, I thought of the difference, because really to be awoke and awake, both mean to be roused out of sleep and slumber. But do you notice how the word woke has left off the A? And as I pondered this, the Lord just kind of spoke to me in my own little prayer journal, but I wanted to share it with you because I thought it was so powerful. The A, the breath of life, the awake, has been taken off of their movement. There's no breath of God in it. When God created Adam and placed him in the garden, he breathed into him the breath of life. When the Lord changed Abram's name to Abraham, Abraham, he sealed him with the covenant of God. He spoke the breath of God into him. He had a new mission, a new journey. He would be the father of multitudes, of nations, of stars, of the sand of the sea that could not be counted because he would carry the seed of Jesus Christ. And the same with Sarai. What did he change her name to? Sarah. We need to awaken by the breath of God. He's the one who has to awaken us in this hour. Awaken, arise, and mobilize. And in today's world, you are either for Christ or you are against him. There is no in between. Revelations 3:5-15 says this, and he's talking to the church in this, and he says this: I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot, and I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, complacent, apathetic, trying to ride the road right down the middle, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I don't want to be vomited out the mouth of the Lord this day. I choose this day whom I will serve. And as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. When we are awakened by the Lord, we need to go to him. And then our actions flow from him. If we are awakened out of sleep in a slumber, and we arise and we mobilize and we go right out into the world and we don't move towards the Father and get a revelation before we move out into the world, we're going to end up getting out of the wrong side of bed. And when you get out of the wrong side of bed, the idioms speak for themselves. To get out of the wrong side of bed is to be hell on wheels. To get out of the wrong side of bed is to be spoiling for a fight. To get out of the wrong side of the bed is to have a short fuse and to be like a bear with a sore head. And if this be the case, we're not going to be dropping green leaves wherever we go. The leaves that are going to fall from us are going to be dead. We're going to maintain that form of godliness that denies the power thereof. When we awaken, arise, and mobilize, we need to move toward the Lord and then out into the world after we get his perspective on what is going on, after we get a revelation of who he is and who we are in him. The other dangerous thing for us as Christians is if we are found sleepwalking. We are never awakened by the Lord, but yet we arise and we mobilize, a very dangerous state in the physical and a very dangerous state in the spiritual. Sleepwalkers think that they are in a different place than they really are. Example, you might have a sleepwalker who's in the bathroom trying to cook bacon and eggs for breakfast. You might find one in the hall closet who's trying to find bathroom facilities. You might find someone out in the living room who's trying to start and drive his car. The same in the spiritual realm. We perceive that we're engaged in the purposes of God, but in reality, we're deceived. Our spiritual eyes, our ears, our mind, our being is not open and receptive to the will of God, and we're not functioning in the right place at the right time. So why do I exhort you with all of this? To encourage you and to implore you with the urgency of the hour. For church, you know it, and it's evident, but we are in a battle. And if you are part of the Church of Jesus Christ, you're drafted into that battle. You don't enlist, you are drafted. It's a battle for the souls of people. It's a battle for the soul of this nation. is a battle for the soul of the nations of the world. And the voice of the Lord is calling for his church to awaken, arise, and mobilize. For it is not the evil of this world that hastens the return of God, but is the condition and activity of the church that hastens the return of God. And if you look in Matthew 24:14, this is telling us about the signs and times of the end of the age. But at the very end it says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So often I always thought, well, the world's getting so evil, the Lord has to come back soon. So often I thought, well, when all the missionaries go to all the places of the world where nobody's ever heard the gospel, then the Lord will come. Do you know there's a mission field right here in this nation? There's children who don't even know what a Bible is. There's children that only know the name of Jesus Christ to be used in vanity. We have a mission field right here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, is upon you, because he has anointed us to preach good tidings to the poor. He has anointed us to carry this good news to those who are destitute spiritually, who are poor spiritually, and need to hear the word of the Lord. 2 Peter 3:10-18 says this. Again, we're hastening the return of the Lord by the activity of the church. But the day of the Lord will come, and it's going to come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in them will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, in what manner of persons ought you, the church of Jesus Christ, ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, and where righteousness will dwell. And last but not least, Acts 3:18-21. But these things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets, that Jesus Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. That has been fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ. This is his second coming, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. We were purposely placed right here in this time, in this era, 2021. We, the church, at this point in time in history, was placed here, you and me, for such a time as this. We were placed here because we were called to stand firm, to stand in the gap, to pray, and to intercede. We are called to stand firm, to not lose ground, and to advance the kingdom of God. So in this hour, we need to comprehend. We need to comprehend who the Lord is and who we are in him. We need to comprehend, understand, live, and experience truth, his word manifest in our lives. We need to comprehend from him as we move toward him and not of him. And what we comprehend, we need to not let the enemy apprehend. Don't let the enemy apprehend what you comprehend. Stay awake. Don't be woke. Don't be deceived. Don't let the enemy steal what is yours. And don't be afraid to defend what you have comprehended. You need to know what and why you believe what you do. And you need to realize that we are not fighting flesh and blood. Ephesians is a whole book on spiritual warfare. It tells us where we are positioned in this battle. It tells us what our armor is in this battle and how to put it on. It gives us the weapons of warfare that we need to take up to defend ourselves and to advance the kingdom of God. We must not be afraid to defend what we comprehend, because the one who wins in the heavenlies will ultimately determine the course of this nation and the nations of the world. And we need to extend what we comprehend. We need to move out and mobilize. We are the front line, and we need to take the mountains that have been gained by the enemy's lie and deception. And Lance Wall now has a whole study on what some of those mountains are. We need to move out into the education systems. We need to move out into the political, governmental realms. We need to move out into the media. We need to move out into entertainment and arts. We need to move out into families. We need to move out and take back that which is rightfully ours in Christ. We cannot let fear cripple the church. I'm not talking about the fear of pandemics. I'm not talking about the fear of the kingdom of darkness. I'm talking about the fear of the Great Commission. A fear to do what the Bible tells us to do. Thinking it's someone else's job to share the good news. It's someone else's job to heal the sick. Is it someone else's job to set the captives free? It's our responsibility. It's our assignment. It's our commission as we labor with Christ. And it is our privilege. And I close with this prophetic poem and this scripture. Awaken me to the spirit that is within me. Awaken me to the Christ that I have longed for and been called to be. Awaken me to my kingdom authority. Awaken me to the world and its needs around me. Awaken me to your voice of truth, that my voice may rejoice. Awaken me to your already provided victory. Awaken me that my life would be awake for all the world to see, the waves of that wake impacting and influencing everything around me. And I leave you with this scripture from Matthew 28, which is the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me on heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. Amen. So therefore, church, let us awaken, arise, and mobilize. Let us be busy about our Father's business and hasten the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.